Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Heavenly Father, open us up to the content of your word today. Help that our spirit man will contact the information that matters as far as this message is concerned. Take us away from the letter of the world and bring us into the life and the spirit within the world. Let this word heal us, correct us, instruct us, reprove us, and most of all, align us back to your will and your purpose on this subject. Holy Spirit of God, I submit myself that you will lead. Use me only as a vessel, and I vow that the glory shall be returned to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good marriage, good church. Good marriage, good family. Good marriage, good home. Good marriage, good nation. We shall be dealing with marriage and everything it has to do with coming together. I trust that the Lord will help us. Some of the things we will be talking about are very practical. Everyone who feels or who has a chemistry for the opposite sex is supposed to marry. If you don't have that chemistry, then you are a celibate. Celibates are not supposed to marry. They are so created by God that they don't have the chemistry between opposite sex. But if that chemistry exists, what I mean by chemistry, the feelings, the urges, if it exists, they are not sinful. They were put in there by God so that the man and the woman can interrelate very well. So whether you are single or married, this will help us a lot. In fact, it will even help the singles more, because you can learn war strategies in the battlefield. You learn it outside the battlefield. If you get into the battlefield, you are supposed to live out what you were taught in training. So if you are still single, it gives you an edge. And when you are going to get married, you already know what to do. In Genesis chapter 2, we have a clear picture of how this whole thing started. The coming together of a man and a woman. God himself initiated it. So marriage is not a human idea. Marriage is not a Western culture. Marriage is not the idea of the white or the culture of white people. Marriage is God's idea, initiated by God, sponsored by God, ordained of God. We must understand this. And whatever God is within or supporting, you understand that he has vested interest in it. Today we shall be talking about the laws of marriage. But before we get to that, I'd like you to take down this. I call them takeaway points as far as the subject of a good family and a good church is concerned, or a good home. Number one, the marriage institution is an institution established by God. You will hear almost every teacher in marriage talk about it. The marriage institution is an institution established by God. So write that down. Marriage was established by God. In Genesis chapter 2, Adam had a problem, but he didn't know how to express the problem. The Bible said, and God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. The God that said it is not good for the man to be alone, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, the Bible said, and God saw that everything he did was very good. But in Genesis chapter 2, God observed that for man to be alone is not going to be productive. And if God says it's not good to be alone, you can't win being a lone ranger. God understands what it means to have people around, to have companion. He understands it. And so God says it's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him and help meet. Now that doesn't mean that Adam didn't know. He had a problem, he had an issue, but he didn't know how to express it. He didn't know if it was a problem. He wasn't sure if it was not normal. But there was something missing. And now see what God did. In the next verse, the Bible says, out of the ground, God made or formed every beast of the field. And all of that, and all of that. And in verse 20, the Lord God did something. He brought everything that he created to Adam to give names. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmate. Now, this is one of the best naming ceremonies that ever occurred on the earth. Adam was the officiating minister in that naming ceremony. And guess what? He was not naming humans. He was naming animals. And Adam noticed that for every animal that came to be named, each of them came its male and its female counterpart. So at this point, the Bible says, but for Adam, there was not found. Now, when you say was not found, that means that there was an initial secret unconscious search. Hello, are you following me? The Bible says was not found. That means that there was an unconscious, unintentional search for something you don't know what it looks like. But there is a soul search. There is a longing. There is a yearning in Adam. But it was not found an help meet for him. The lion had an help meet. The goat had one. The tortoise had one. The tilapia had one. The birds had their own. But for Adam, there was not found. So it means to get a help meet, you need to find it. So when Solomon said, he that findeth a wife, there is a search. So you don't just wake up and get it. You find it. You need to find it. I pray for the singles. May you find your own. Yeah. That you will not find a killer man or a killer wife. And so that's why the process of finding is a serious process. It's even more important than the marriage itself. Because he that carried an ant-infested firewood into his house should not grumble when the lizard does what? Pays him a visit. Abraham said to Eliezer, swear that you will not by any chance bring a woman to my son that is not of our kind. And he made him to swear with his hands under Abraham's thigh. You can't put your hand under Abraham's pulpit and still mess up. Because that man carried everything that represented God. And so when he tells you to put your hand under his armpit and then swear, you know that you are in trouble. So Eliezer left with that oath and the consequences of the oath on his head. And somewhere along the line, he prayed and said, Lord, help me that I will not get somebody who will bust the balloon of the covenant. And you know what? He got a Rebecca. He got a Rebecca. He didn't get a Delilah. He got a Rebecca that perpetuated the covenant. He found a Rebecca. There were many females that day, but he found a Rebecca. And with Rebecca, the covenant continued. There is a finding you can find, and every good thing that existed will begin to dwindle. And I pray for you again. You will find your own good one. Now, that's not where I'm going today. The Bible said there was not found for Adam. Look at the next verse. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. 22. And you know what God did? And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. Can you imagine God taking one rib bone and then produce a human that has 206 bones from one? He produced somebody that has 206. We are told by biology that we have at least 206 bones functioning in our bodies. God had to take just one bone and then produce a woman. Now see the response and the reaction of Adam. Now to tell you that Adam was in a search, but he didn't know how to express it. In the next verse, now when God brought this woman, I'd like you to know that the Bible says beauty is deceitful, favor is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And another place, the proverb says that a prudent wife is a gift from God. It's a gift from God, not from fathers. Gift from God. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22. And the Bible says, verse 23, and Adam said, this is now. You can feel a sigh of relief. This is now. Today, every marriage that has not settled in, may the hand of the Lord come upon homes, that husbands and wives will be able to say, this is now. Now I can rest. Now I can fly. He said, this is now the bone of my bones. I like Adam's description. He said, this is now the bone of my bones. She shall be called woman. So the marriage institution is established by God. Number two takeaway point. There is no perfect marriage anywhere because there are no perfect people on the earth. Do you agree with me? There's no perfect marriage anywhere. The reason why you will not find any perfect marriage is because there are no perfect people. We have pockets of imperfections here and there. So, don't look for a perfect marriage or a perfect partner. They don't walk on the earth. Perfect people don't live on earth. They stay in heaven. Praise God. I say what? Perfect people don't live where? They don't live here on earth. Where do they live? They live in heaven. So if you are looking for a perfect person, prepare a coffin. Because the best way to go to heaven now is to enter a coffin. And then you are buried before the rapture. That's how to go to heaven. So there are no perfect marriage anywhere. The reason is because there are no perfect people on the earth. Just like you cannot have a perfect church, you cannot have a perfect marriage. The day you have a perfect church, for instance, that minute you join that church, it becomes imperfect. Praise God. From a distance, from outside, it may be a perfect church. But the day you become a member, it becomes imperfect. Because there and then, you begin to see certain things. Amen. So you know. Number three takeaway point, every marriage can be better, no matter how bad or hopeless it may look at the moment. That's our hope. Every marriage can be better, no matter how bad or how hopeless it is at the moment. You just need to make a decision that you will walk at your own. Every marriage can be better. All husbands, all wives, all couples, all intended ones, understand that every marriage can be better. We can have a good dimension of our marriage, no matter how bad it is now. So maybe your marriage is not as beautiful as you would want it to be. Don't desire your neighbor's or your friend's marriage. Just make up your mind that you will walk at your own. Marriage is a garden. And how beautiful your garden is a function of your skill. So make up your mind that you are going to walk at your own. I'm walking at my own. So if you sit there and there and say, I wish my senior pastor was my husband. You don't know what you are talking about. Ask my wife. She will know how bad I am. So you don't sit there and begin that. I just wish I married. I wish Papa was my husband. You are not wishing well. Oh. Go and ask the person that is marrying Papa. She will tell you. Praise God. You don't sit down and say, I wish Mama was my wife. Come and ask me. I tell you that you are not wishing right. Just find and wish your own. So we must make up our mind to work at our own. Work your marriage. And it will be well. Praise God. You always tell yourself, you see this marriage, my dear, we are going to work it out. You see, this thing is a long-term thing. So this one that you are putting your face here, I'm putting my face here, it will help us. We are in for a long time. Praise God. So the day you sign the marriage bond, we are in for a long time. It's not 2 years. It's not 3 years. I'm talking about 35 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And if you are starting at the second month to be putting your face like this, what will you do in the next 70 years? Praise God. Now, if you are running every time there's an issue, you are running to the children. My children, give it the next 15 years, they will all leave you. Some of them will leave and will not even come back. And you will face that woman back, eyeball to eyeball. So we came back together, only me and you. So let's make up our mind that we will work our marriage. Somebody say, I will make my marriage work. Can I hear you shout it again? I will make my marriage work. Now, another thing I want you to take note is that marriages are different from one another. Marriages are not the same. Take it down. Marriages are different from one another. They come with different degrees of pain and joy. Marriages are different. My brother's is not the same with mine. My father's is not the same with mine. So marriages are different. They come with different degrees of pain and joy. I'm careful to bring in the word degrees of pain and joy. It's a mixture of the both. But understand that it's different. So stop comparing your marriage to your neighbor's own, to your friend's own, to your best man's own, your bridesmaid own. Stop comparing it. We are different. And let me also say this. One thing about marriage is that there is no joy like the joy of marriage, and there's no pain like the pain of marriage. It's a paradox. There's no joy like the joy of marriage. When it is working, you are like heaven on earth. But when it's not working, you know, Solomon says it's better to live in the ceiling than to live with a troublesome woman. Solomon can say that because he had 700 of them. 700 legal wife and 300 side chicks. Is that what they call it now? Praise God. So Solomon can tell you that it's better for you to live in the rooftop, and you know the space between the roof and your ceiling of your ceiling. So when next you are building a house, keep space between the roof and the ceiling. Praise God. Now, in other words, Solomon was trying to tell us that nowhere is better than home. Try to go and live at the roof of the house now. You know how bad it is. So let's make it work. So there's no joy like the joy of marriage, and there's no pain like the pain of marriage. Now, take down this other one. Troubles and challenges in marriages are signs that you are still a human being. I like that. Troubles and challenges in marriages are signs that you are still what? A human. You are still human. So the fact that you are having troubles, you are having challenges understanding each other, is simply a sign that you are still a human being. The day you don't have them again, it means that death has come. So don't think there won't be troubles. There would be. You will still make mistakes, but you must be committed to growth and improvement. The problem a lot of persons are having in marriages, unresolved issues, is because a problem doesn't grow. Problems don't grow. The only thing is that humans have refused to grow up. Problems itself don't grow. Because problem is not a living thing, it doesn't grow. But the challenge is that humans have refused to grow up. So when you don't grow up, it looks as though the problem is getting big. But when you grow up and become mature, there are things that we could talk about between myself and my wife earlier in our marriage that we don't need to talk about it now. It's no longer an issue. Why? The reason is because we have grown. So it can no longer be an issue. It's no longer an issue that will make people to tighten their face and reject food. You know? You don't eat. I've always said in our church that that's one thing I teach men. Please don't reject food. No matter how bad it is. Sit down with your tight face. You go chop? Yes. Bring the food. Now your money, now why are you rejecting it? Eat it. Praise God. At least so that you get power to vex. You know, at least you get muscle to vex. You just eat food. For you, you they vex and your stomach they empty. Now you they lose now. I know some women these days. You go eat, no. They just sit down. As you are coming, they are singing. We are singing unto the Lord. Singing. They just, and you are just looking. The next time she will tell you food don't finish, you buy. Small time she do you vex, you know it. Amen. Men say, I will not lose. You can't lose your peace and lose food at the same time. So troubles and challenges are signs that you are still human. So don't think they won't come. Ability to resolve these challenges is key to success in your marriage. The ability to resolve challenges is key to success. That's why things must be talked about. We deal with it. You see, when you overcome it, you have overcome it, you are moving on. When you are growing or you are allowing growth and improvement, you will outgrow your problems and they will now appear very cheap to you. So be committed to growth. Couples that refuse to grow will groan. Write it down, don't forget it. Couples that refuse to grow will groan. If you don't grow, you will groan. Couples that refuse to grow will groan. Alright, the last takeaway point I'd like you to take note is let your marriage be governed by principles. Let your marriage be governed by principles. Because principles will give birth to excellence. When you do practices without principle, you'll be average. So let your marriage be governed by principles. And if you read the Bible like we are going to do, you'll see a lot of God's principles for marriages. A lot of people, especially Christians, they try to numb their pain. They try to cover up their pains in marriage without dealing with the root matter. Some people do not fight because people know they are Christians, but there's a lot of pain going on in their inside. We don't fight simply because people know we are Christians. I don't want to do it. No, they know I'm a Christian. That's the reason you don't fight. It's not because the Bible don't want you to do so. It's a different ballgame when you are not doing things so that people would not say otherwise. And when you are not doing things because you know God does not want you to do it. That's the principle we are talking about. So, don't numb your pain. Now, let's look at some laws of marriage. Law number 1, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden, dressed it to keep it. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for that the man should be alone, I will make him an help meet. So law number 1 of marriage is the law of purpose. I will make him a help meet. The law of purpose. Now the first law that God wants us to understand as far as marriage is concerned is the law of purpose. The law of purpose relates to the reason God created and established marriage. The law of purpose relates to the reason God created and established marriage. You see that in verse 18, everybody, let's read together. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make for him a help meet. Now, take note, it is not help meet. M-E-E-T. Not M-A-T-E. I will make him an help meet. So another word for that word meet is suitable. I will make him an help suitable for him. So you are not your husband's or your wife's helpmate. You are helpmate. In other words, you are coming to complement. You are coming to meet up something. Your coming is not just necessarily to add to him, but to make him complete. Help meet for him. So we must understand the law of purpose in marriage. Now, most people violate this fundamental law very consistently. Now, for instance, marriage was not primarily ordained for procreation. So lack of understanding of this truth is the reason a lot of men will fight their wives for not having children. Marriage was not first and foremost primarily made for the purpose of procreation. Now, it's important that we understand the law of marriage so that when we marry, we are guided by principles. So marriage was not basically for procreation or for bearing children. But today, you know, a lot of marriages have ended because there was no child. And of course, in this part of the world, childlessness is a woman's fault through all of us. So it was not meant for that. And some people have even gone into different dimension of this child's issue. That some women are even persecuted, or some marriages are in trouble because there's a particular kind of children. People have changed the purpose of marriage. It wasn't meant for that. But understand, as children of God, that marriage was not primarily made for children. You will remember that between Adam and Eve, children came even after they were cursed. Praise God. So God didn't make marriage primarily for children so that we don't begin to run our home under severe tension because children have not come. I pray children will come, but understand that is not the primary aim for marriage. And I bet you I have seen couples, they don't have children, but they are enjoying their marriage much more than some that have 10 children because they understand the purpose for marriage. I ask some people question a lot, why do you want to marry? A man will say, well, I want to marry because I'm the only child in my family. You are seeing a man that will have trouble with the wife if children don't come on time. So when I ask, why do you want to marry? I'm the only child of my family. That's a problem now. So I need to take time and begin to talk to him to understand that you are not marrying because of, you see, I'm the only child, so I want to produce like 15. So that, no. And most time for such people, they can enter and the challenge for childbearing will show up. So understand that. Lack of understanding of this truth is the reason so many people will fight. What if you get married today? God forbid. But what if you get married today? You love your wife love you, and then something happened between the both of you that it become biologically impossible for either party, either to pregnant a woman or for the woman to conceive. What will happen? Won't the marriage continue? It should continue. Praise God. Now, the mystery of marriage is that everybody wants to get into it. You know, even little children, they play daddy and mommy. That's the mystery of marriage. Everybody wants to get into it. You see little children, say, I am mommy, he is daddy. So that's the beauty of marriage. Yeah. But a lot of persons don't really know why marriage exists. If your marriage is not going fine, you should check which law you are violating. There is the law of purpose. The day you understand why you are on the earth and the assignment God has allocated to you, that is the day you actually qualify to start seeking for a wife or a husband. So to the singles, first and foremost, understand why you are on the earth. Understand your purpose and then begin to look for a man or a woman. Because a lot of persons have gotten married without knowing why they are on the earth. So they just got married to beauty. They got married to height. They got married to shape and size. Only for them to stay together and discover that shape and size does not fit in into divine purpose. Praise God. Now, because you have seen people who are well shaped, well sized, well fitted, and yet they are not enjoying marriage. Because they have suddenly discovered that this thing cannot work. So when you discover who you are, what you were created for, your purpose, then you can settle down and marry. Now, sadly, some people start seeking for a wife when they start having sexual pressure. That is not the time for you to get a wife. That is when some men who have not discovered their purpose on the earth get married. And all they do is to have sex with their wives and waste them away with no direction and purpose. You don't get married because I'm beginning to feel like a man now, so let me get married. And of course, let me say to you that marriage does not exempt people from adultery. So if you say, if I get married, I'm no longer going to go outside. Some people become more skillful in going outside when they get married. In fact, they become worse. The only difference is that they are more skillful now. So they have become skillful in that art. So instead of charity, they write char. They can even call women mechanic, my mechanic one, my mechanic two in the phone. That's skillfulness. So you discover that you have not been delivered from that act. So marriage didn't help you deliver you. So marriage is not when I get married, I will no longer play this outside game. No. So you don't begin to look for a wife or a husband because you feel now I'm a man or a woman, I feel like being with a man. No. So that when you marry for that purpose, it will only be, let's stay together. God's first purpose for marriage was to take man to his peak of performance. Amen. To take man to his peak of performance. To the peak of beauty. To the peak of the fulfillment of divine purpose. That's why Amos chapter 3 verse 3, the Bible says, can two walk together without them being in agreement? So the first purpose of marriage is to take you to your peak. Marriage should take you to your peak. Marriage should add to you. Marriage should make you better. If I'm not a better preacher after marriage, then I should be checking my marriage. So you start somewhere, and when you get married, it takes you to the peak of your performance. You perform better. You become more productive. And that's what I'll be praying for all homes and all families. That every home here shall become better because you have come together. You know why? Because the Bible says two is better than one. For they shall have a good reward for their labor. Say I hear. Marriage was not made for sex only. Sex is only a benefit of marriage. Not the sole purpose. Praise the Lord. Because something can happen in marriage and then it is no longer possible to have sex. Does it mean the marriage will not continue? It should continue. Why did God bring a man and his wife together? Why did God plan marriage? Why did God say marriage should be monogamous? In other words, it should be between one Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And not between Eve and Evelyn. Marriage should be monogamous. One man, one woman. Why did God plan it that way? Understand why you are married to that man, you are married to that woman, you are married to. The purpose is so that you will bring her to her peak. She will add value to you and you will come to your peak. So in our marriage, we should be praying every day. Lord, what do I do to take my husband to the peak of his performance? What can I do to take my wife to the peak of her performance? Stop naming your wife. She is the reason for my failure. He is the reason for my failure. You failed before you married her. She is only amplifying what you had. So, we should pray. My desire is how my wife can become everything she couldn't have become while as a single. A desire should be how I can become everything God wants me to become. You know why? Because when you get to the peak of your performance, the first beneficiary is your family. The first beneficiary of failures is your family. When you fail, your family will benefit first from your failure before every other person. So marriage takes us to the peak of our performance. I pray for everyone here. Anyone that marriage is reducing, the table will turn for your good. Marriage is not supposed to reduce us. I'm a better pastor now than before I was married. I tell you the truth, better pastor than before I was married. There are some sermons my wife teach me. Just living in the house with her is a message. Praise God. Makes me better. Makes me stronger. Makes me more experienced. Brings me to some certain dimensions of humanity that I would never have known. So don't sit down there and feel I got married to a non-entity. I got married to a fool. And you know, it's all about me. No, it's not all about you. There is something about that woman. There's something about that man. As far as your performance is concerned. You know, one day, Abigail said something that has become a message I'm working on. Abigail said to David, in 1 Samuel chapter 25, he said, don't mind my husband Nabal. As his name is, so he is. He's a fool. Wow. She could never have said that to her husband face to face. Now, the message is how she managed to marry that fool for the number of years is a mystery. So you can actually marry a fool and nobody's hearing your voice. Praise God. That's the mystery that we need to ask Abigail. How she got married to a fool for that number of years. Until God killed the fool, she was not even willing to move. But because she understood, he said, my present in his life is to get him to the peak of his performance. So she married a fool who was the richest man in their area. So what value are you adding to your wife, to your husband? Understand that purpose. So always ask yourself, ever since I got married to her, what has she become under me? What has he become? Eating my food, hearing from me, staying with me. What has he become? You see, when I hear men call their wife devils and I hear women call their husband demons, and I know that you couldn't have paid dowry for a demon. It's not possible that you invited your friends to come to the village of a demon. And on the day of your traditional marriage, you were dancing with umbrella over your head. Are they still holding umbrella now? When I got married, they were holding umbrella, even under the sun. So we were dancing together. And then you got there, they gave her a drink, and she comes looking for you and give to you. And you took the drink from a devil and finished it. 5 years after, 10 years after, I say, my wife is a devil. If he's actually a demon. The Bible says when you find a demon, cast him out. But did you collect feeding money from him last week? Yes, I collected. From a demon? We don't collect money from demons. We bind it. So he is not. Praise God. And if he has become one under your watch, you turned him to a demon. If she has become a witch, you turned her to a witch because she was not in her father's house. So question is, what has my life added to you as my wife? Praise God. I went somewhere last week and somebody came where I was seated and they were asking, do you know him? He said, no, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. They said, think well. He said, no, I don't know him. And then they mentioned my name and she shouted. I said, you have become fat too. And I looked at myself. I said, wow. So I've become this fat that somebody will no longer recognize me. If this is what they call fat, then you, I don't know what I was those days. Praise God. But all of that is owing to a woman. So it's because I got married. You needed to see my wife when I got married to her. Amen. I would have asked them to show your picture here. In fact, when I brought my wife to my mother said, didn't you see somebody that has body? That's what my mother said. She said, you don't see somebody where get body small. So that even if there is nothing to eat, people will not say that you are maltreating her. Today we are trying to see how we can reduce the body. Somebody says, sir, you are doing well. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Am I doing well? I think I'm doing well. Praise God. Yeah. So marriage should take us up. When I married her, she didn't know how to preach. Now she can preach. Marriage takes us up. Makes you perform better. And I'm going to pray for you that your marriage will add value to you. No, it will add value to you. Makes you perform at your peak. That's where we are going to end for today. Number one law of marriage is the law of purpose. I will perform at my maximum. See, a man and a woman married, and a man and a woman not married, they are not the same. There is something that thing has added to you. So let's all understand it. This is not first and foremost about children, whether male or female children. This is because God is bringing me to that woman. And please, let me say this to every man here. You don't do a woman a favor by marrying her. So don't sit down there and feel, you know, if I didn't marry you. We don't do them favor by marrying them. We do ourselves favor. It's a two-way thing. If you are clapping, clap now. Now it's a two-way thing. So we don't begin to feel that, you know, this woman, if I didn't marry you, I don't know where you would have been. She can also say, man, if I didn't marry you, I don't know whether you'll be sleeping in Bia Palace now. Some of us, our wives have picked us up, cleaned us. Our wives have told us, this is not the way to talk in the public. Our wives have told us, this is not the way to wear the shoes. Our wives have told us, this, you know, this combination. My wives like looking at what I wear. I must be sure. Because when I wear something, she will just look. And sometimes she doesn't talk. I have to just pass where she is. Pass again. Let her just say something. Because if she said you are good, it doesn't matter what anybody say outside. I'm good. I'm good. My wife said so. I'm good. Praise God. They have made us better. And we have also made them better. And so let's understand that. That when we get married, it is a competition between us. I want to make you better than I picked you from your father's house. And the woman is saying, I want to make you better than I met you in your father's house. When that competition is ripe, you will see a husband and wife brawling, getting better, getting bigger, getting sweeter.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website, www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.